What's up, Donation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. And we got some big news to talk about. Off-season grades are rolling in. And I don't know about you, Michael, but I was always kind of nervous to bring home my report card. So I don't know how the staff's feeling about this, but we're going to have some fun with it today. There's been so much activity in the portal. It just feels really confusing. And so we're just going to kind of go position group by position group and kind of give our thoughts of how the off-season has played out. And of course, we got the big news of the Twins returning and all that to get to today. We got multiple commits to talk about. So this episode is going to be jam-packed full of stuff. Can't wait to get into it. But before we jump into that, man, how are you, my friend? And things are going good here other than it's 20 degrees outside. So just dreaming of warmer weather. But other than that, man, we actually, you know, there hasn't the good days for Florida State fans have been few and far between this offseason, but it feels like yesterday was a pretty good day. So we got some positive stuff to talk about as this episode unfolds. But man, how are you, my friend? And glad to have you on for another episode.
Oh, well, thanks for having me, Jesse. Yeah, you know, listen, I don't know about you, but whenever I was bringing home my report card, if I had a bad grade, I tried to always either scratch it out or get black ink to make that F look like an A real bit. I wonder if Mike Norvell is trying to do that right now.
Yeah.
With the fans. He's like, hey, I know this looks bad, but just kind of squint your eyes. I bet you can see an A or a B instead of a D or C.
Yeah, let's grade on a curve. See, I was always that kid that was like, I was smart, but he didn't apply himself. So that was kind of always me. And you know what? It kind of feels the same way with some of our staff members, too.
That's right.
But nonetheless, we're going to get into that. But, Michael, the first thing that I want to start off with here is talking about showing signs of life on this roster and getting some people back. Well, thankfully, the NIL collective, the Battles In, has shown some signs of life because there for a while,
yeah,
there was some consternation as, are they even operating? What are they doing? We hadn't heard anything. You couldn't get responses from them.
Right.
And thankfully, they did send out an email to all the Battles In members, like yesterday, I think, or the day yep. before that, just kind of giving an update of where they're at. We saw them active with the Twins and that retainment. So it's nice to see them show some signs of life, right? It's nice to at least show that they're out there because they talked a lot about cancellations.
Right.
And I would not be surprised if a lot of those cancellations, I know the fan base is frustrated and all that, but just a lack of transparency, a lack of showing signs of life probably led people to like, do I trust giving them my money?
Right.
Now, they did say that there are still over 3,000 members, although they have had a lot of cancellations. But they talked about how the game is changing, right? They said in 2024, they had 66 players under contract. But that's now, right. This year, it's looking to be around 12 players. Now, that may or may not include the Desir Twins. But they basically said going forward, you're probably looking at about 10 to 15 is what they're going to do. And, you know, the thing is, man, I think that tells you, like, either – A, they just had a lot of funds being pulled, and that's just what they can afford.
Right.
But to me, what that sends more of a message is it's just the nature of the game, man. The cost of doing business has skyrocketed. And so when you hear about, you know, the Twins getting something like $800,000 a piece and stuff like that, I think you're just having to pull that money into the 10 or 15 best players that you want. And I don't think that's a bad approach, right? We talked about this when we were texting about it, is I don't think that's necessarily a bad approach, right? I mean, first off, let's be honest. In the modern game, the days of holding and stacking elite depth like the Georgias, the Ohio States used to be able to do, those days are probably gone because it's just going to cost you $40 million to have – like an Oregon, you know, when they had 2 5-star quarterbacks
that's
in the
right.
wings. Like, that's going to cost you a lot of money. And unless you got that money, you can't do it. So it makes sense for Florida State to be like – okay, let's concentrate that money into people who really affect the outcome of the game with the Battles In member. And so it's just kind of the way it's going to be going forward. You're going to have to kind of slim that number down. Now, I'll kick it back to you on this, but I do also think the suck tax is real, right? And we're paying it. And so hopefully, my thought anyway, is that when Florida State actually gets better and you have people who want to actually be here playing football, which, again, man, I know people get so focused on Florida State and the problems that we have and all that. This is everywhere. I think I saw the other day Ohio State even has lost 29 players to the portal. Yeah. Like, this is everybody. Everybody's paying through the nose for players. But I think once the suck tax goes away, you can then probably expand that to maybe 20 players or so because you're not overpaying and donations will also come back, right? This is one of the things we talked about after the last two seasons. And you retaining Mike Norvell is like, good luck getting donations. And so it's just kind of where it's at with the nature of the game and where Florida State as a program is at. But the end all be all to me is I'm just glad they showed signs of life. Right. So we know they're still out there actively working, and kudos to them for helping get the Twins back. And we'll talk about the retention of them a little bit later. Man, it's nice to see them actually at least show some life.
Yeah. Like, and I know for Florida State fans, it feels like this is only happening to us. It's only happening to Florida State. But as Jesse said, like, it's happening everywhere. Every single school is losing players for reasons that you would think are ridiculous. Like what? We just paid this kid and now he's back in the portal again. This kid just came from high school. He didn't play one down and now he's in the portal demanding more money. Like, it's happening everywhere. But the difference is that those programs, Ohio State's, you know, Bama's, Georgia's, they're having, they are fortunate to get the excellence discount, right? They can sign players for a little bit of a discount because they're really good. And so players are taking discounts because they want to be on good teams, because they know if they're on good teams, that's more awareness, more NIL opportunities. We're having to pay the suck tax, as Jesse said, because we suck. And so we have to pay more money to keep mediocre to decent players, right? Or to even sign them. And that's just the nature of what college football is right now. Now, I actually think, you know, moving over to the Battles End thing, I actually think the way the Battles End is approaching this is actually really wise. Because if you think about it, right, you only have 22 players that are starting on your football team, and then you have some rotational pieces. And I think what has been harmful to the Battles End and to Florida State is that you've tried to balance out the Battles End payments across the board, which doesn't allow you to be competitive for bidding for these better players. Mm-hmm. So now that the Battles End is saying, hey, we're only going to focus on the top 10 to 15 players on the roster, well, now it makes you even more competitive. Everybody on the roster is going to get rev share, right?
Yeah.
But then the best 15, top 10, 15 players are going to have an addition to that rev share, which is the NIL with the Battles End. And I have to say that you need to give a little bit of kudos. And when I say a little bit, I mean like a microcosm kudos to Michael Alford for coming off of this idea that, oh, the cap is the cap, because there's no way that the Battles End would have gotten involved with these players unless Michael Alford had started to see that, oh, no school is going to play by this rules. The CSC, the College Sports Commission, has no teeth right now. The NCAA is lost and Congress is not coming to save college football. So if everyone's going to play dirty, we've got to play dirty as well too. And so kudos to that just small little step we believe is happening that has allowed the Battles End to really come back alive and focus on these top 10, 15 players.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I mean, there's a saying in racing, right? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's right.
So I feel like for us, you don't want to be the only one in the room that's not trying.
That's right.
And so you have to come off of that. But like you said, the point is you don't need to spread the Battles End money across the whole roster now, because the rev share is going to handle that, right? Your long snapper is still getting paid, but now you can focus that money into the guys who truly impact the game.
So it's
a good plan going forward. We'll see how it works out. Again, you know, it's only getting more expensive, so you're going to have to spend some money above that cap for sure. But, Michael, you know where you can save money?
Where?
That is Alumni Hall FSU. And look, they got elite gear, and they have it for all the sports. Baseball season's coming up. They'll have baseball gear for that as well. And so, man, they got over 100 styles of hats to choose from. So if you're looking for a new favorite hat, make sure you hit them up. They got a bunch of great stuff. And to save money, you can use code SPEAR to save 10%. You can use that online, or you can use that in-store. Just tell them the guys from Plant the Spear sent you, and they'll get you hooked up. So, again, that's Alumni Hall FSU at 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee, or just make it easy and shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page, and don't forget code SPEAR to save 10%. So we appreciate you guys supporting them, and we appreciate them for supporting us, right? They're our NIL, right?
Yeah,
now. And so they're our collective. So we really, really appreciate them. And so, Michael, we're going to get into some of the grading stuff now, right? We're going to talk about some of the portal. Obviously, we got news of Kevin Wynn returning, the Twins returning. We can talk about all that when we get to their position groups. Yep. And so that's kind of how we're going to do it. A couple things I want to start with before we start handing out these grades is just keep in mind for everybody watching, we are recording today on Friday, January the 16th. And the reason I mentioned the date is because the portal closes today. Now, that is for entries only. You can be in the portal indefinitely if you want to, but after today, you cannot enter the portal anymore. So unless someone leaves today for Florida State, then what you got is pretty much what you got, right? And you can add a few pieces, and we'll talk about the roster spots here in a minute, because Florida State has a less than double, a single-digit number of roster spots available, because remember, you still have the 105 limit as well.
That's right.
Also remember, there is no more spring session, so what you got is what you got after this. You know, we talked about it before the show. Dylan Gibbons was a spring edition. Keon Coleman was a spring edition. So it's really, that's what's made this portal session feel even more crazy. You lost in December, you lost the spring, and it went to just 1 2-week window. So everyone had to hit it at one time, and then you didn't have a second chance. So it just turns into a game of like hungry, hungry hippos where everyone's just snapping up every single thing they can.
That's right.
Because this is the only chance you get, right? And so right now, Florida State in their portal ranking class per On3, typically I like to use 247, but On3 actually grades you on what you gain and lose. They currently have Florida State ranked 35th in the country in portal rankings. Now, it was 58th yesterday morning. So this flurry of commitments and stuff that we've gotten has really boosted that up. So that's good to see there as well. But now as we get into the grading, here's how we're going to do this, just to set the stage for you guys. So the grading system, this is kind of how I came up with it, right? And this only pertains to the impact the moves will make for 2026, right? Because obviously, if this offseason has shown us anything, we are on a annual year-to-year roster management, whatever you want to say, because you can't guarantee anybody is going to stay for longer than a year now. So we're only going to judge this based on what impact they'll make for 2026. We're going to do the – did you have these in school?
Oh, yeah, we did.
See, we didn't. You either see or you done for.
You done for.
but we're gonna throw the D in there on this grading system because it's to even it out. So we just went A, B, C, F. Okay. And so what I want to do here is, if you think of A through F, C is our break even. Mm-hmm. Basically, the position group didn't get any better or worse, right? B would be the position group improved marginally. A would be you made a big improvement at the position. D would be the position got worse, but not by a lot. And F would be the position got markedly worse. Mm-hmm. Now, a couple of other things to mention with that is this is going to be grading the positions as a whole, how it was handled this offseason. That goes for retention, that goes for high school, that goes for portal. Basically, where you ended 2025 to where you're entering 2026, how was this handled? Mm-hmm. And the qualifiers for this are the position grades are going to be relative to how it's used in the current systems. It's also going to be relative to how good or bad the position was last year, because obviously it's going to be pretty easy to improve some of these positions. It's going to be a little bit tougher to improve others. And we can also add a plus or minus, like a B plus or B minus for nuance. Like maybe you feel a little, I feel good, but not great about it. And so we can add those as well. Now, the last thing I'll say is when we were talking about this before the show, we're going to go through and kind of just reset the board for everybody. Because again, there's been a lot of movement, so it's kind of hard to keep up with. So we're going to go through each position, talk about who you gained, who you lost, how we kind of feel about that position. The grades are actually kind of arbitrary. The explanation's what matters. And so let's jump in first off with quarterback. And to set the stage here, you gained Ashton Daniels. You lost Brock Glenn and Jalen King. You lost Tommy Castellanos to attrition. And side note, we're not going to mention every single player on the roster. Right. The ones that really kind of played an impact. Those are the ones that we're going to mention.
Right.
You did retain Kevin Sperry. You did sign Jaden O'Neal, who, side note, we just found out will miss the entire 2026 season with an ACL. Now, they are still looking for an extra quarterback. It has been JUCO. I know you were telling me about another guy we were looking at before the show. So they're still looking for some depth there. So, you know, I think when I look at this group, I gave it a grade of a B minus. So I think you did improve slightly, but not a lot. And the reason I say that is because when I look at Ashton Daniels versus Tommy Castellanos, he's a little bit bigger. He's a little bit more durable of a runner. From the running aspect, Ashton Daniels production-wise and Tommy Castellanos are pretty darn close, right? I think you're going to get about the same running stats from them. It's just Ashton Daniels may be a little bit more durable. When you talk about from a passing perspective, I think Ashton Daniels has a lower floor than Tommy. Like, Tommy was not a good passer, but he was not terrible. He was consistently below average, right? Yeah. Ashton Daniels has been bad at times. Like, there's some games where he's throwing for 100 yards, which is pitiful. There's also some games where he's throwing for 350 yards. And I went back and looked, and Tommy's only thrown for over 300 yards one time in his career, and it was the flu game against Florida State in 23. But, I mean, he threw for over 300 against Vanderbilt last year. Had they not have dropped seven passes against Alabama, he probably would have thrown for over 300 that year. So I think there is a little bit more of a higher ceiling there. And the reason I also thought it got a little bit better is I like Kevin Sperry in year two more than I like Brock Glenn in any year, because he just has not shown to be a consistently good quarterback. And we've seen flashes from Sperry, and so I think that's pretty good. Now, the depth obviously is hurt a little bit with Jaden O'Neal being injured, and you don't have your third quarterback yet. But I will say, from that perspective, I do think this group was upgraded, but it not a lot, right? So I'm going to give them a B-.
Yeah, my grade is, okay, if Ashton Daniels is the quarterback, I think I give it a wash. I don't feel like you upgraded, but I don't feel like you got worse in my right. sense. Like, I don't think, you know, Ashton Daniels is a worse quarterback than Tommy. I think they're just different. They have the same electric running ability. Ashton Daniels is not electric, but he's tougher running. He's a much tougher runner. He's not gonna he's not gonna run 2 yards and then run to the sidelines like Tommy. He's gonna run and try to pick up, you know, the extra yardage. He's gonna put a shoulder down. So I like that about him. But the passing is hit or miss with both these quarterbacks. Yeah. And honestly, that when Tommy wasn't running, that was the most detrimental part of his game last year. And Ashton Daniels has proven to be Jekyll and Hyde. He'll have a great game, and then he'll have an absolutely terrible game. Great game, go watch Alabama. Obviously, if they don't drop those passes, it's probably even better. Bad game, go watch the game against Kentucky, where, I mean, he just couldn't find a barnyard in a horseshoe. I don't know what the saying is there, but whatever it is, he couldn't find it. He couldn't find whatever it was, right? And so I don't think the quarterback room got better. Now, here's what I'll say. So my grade is a C, but I will caveat this, that if they end up going with Kevin Sperry and Kevin is better than what we have in that room and it turns out to be good, then I would upgrade this to a B. But right now, my grade is a C. I think it's a complete wash. You didn't get better, but I don't think you got worse.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I would have probably went maybe a C+, maybe, you know what I mean? Just to see, like, I think Sperry's a little bit better than Brock was. But that's why I threw the minus on the B, because I'm like, yeah, I mean, you got a little bit better, I think, just from Ashton Daniels being maybe a more high ceiling guy, but it's not a big difference. And that's the tough part that you got to live with. But like you said, my hope is the durability is the key, because as you talked about with Tommy, like, Tommy's an electric runner, which makes him a mildly dangerous quarterback, right?
Right.
But once he got injured and he lost that running ability, you were just stuck with a bad passing quarterback.
Exactly.
And so I'm hoping Ashton Daniels can stay healthy and be a little bit more durable there, so you don't lose that ability midseason and you're just stuck with a bad passer. So now moving on to running back. So you gained Trey Wisner and you gained newly, we'll talk about this in just a second, Jamari Sands from Florida Atlantic. You lost Jalen Lucas, Cam Davis, and Gavin Sawchuk. To attrition, you lost Keziah Holmes and Roydell Williams, but you did retain Chroma and Singleton, and you did flip Amari Thomas back from South Carolina. And so I'm actually going to give this one a B+. I do think that got better, right? I like Trey Wisner better than I like Gavin Sawchuk. I don't think Jalen Lucas or Cam Davis was a loss at all. The fact that you retained Chroma and Singleton and you didn't lose, like, I was worried you were going to lose Singleton when you started bringing in all these backs, right? Yeah. And so I think it did get better. Now, the Florida Atlantic kid, the Jamari Sands, we're going to talk about the new commits as we go through the position groups. 6 foot, 195, had 105 attempts last year, 465 yards at Florida Atlantic, 4.43 yards per carry. He did have 40 receptions for 217 yards out of the backfield, 145 touches, zero touchdowns. So that, you know, maybe he's just not a red zone back, but he did have 682 all-purpose yards. So to me, I mean, I know it was at Florida Atlantic, but he was more productive than Jalen Lucas. So adding all these things together, I didn't think we needed him. if I'm being completely honest. I thought we were pretty much good where we were at with the three or four running backs that we did, or the four we did with the freshmen. I don't know that Amari Thomas is going to make much of an impact this year now that you've added more running backs. You know, I mean, unless the guy can play defensive line, we'll see. But I think the running back room is an upgrade this year. So I'm going with a B+ just because, again, I think Trey Wisner, whether you wanted more running backs or not, I think he was a really darn good addition, a guy that's shown that he could be a 1,000-yard back on a playoff team. And then, you know, again, I just don't think the losses hurt you that bad with mm-hmm. what you brought in. So to me, I give this one a B+.
Yeah. Maybe I'm more harsh in my grades, but I just give it a C. Maybe a C+, just because I do like, you know, that Jamari Sands was very more productive last year than Jalen Lucas. But I just see Jamari Sands as a Jalen Lucas replacement. You brought Jalen Lucas over from Indiana, where he was an all-purpose wonderkin, you know, from special teams to how they were using him in the pass game. And then he basically went MIA here, you know, except for the Pitt game with him and Jordan Travis, where they had no receivers. And so they had to go to Jalen Lucas a lot there.
That was Ja'Kai Douglas.
Ja'Kai Douglas. Sorry. Yes.
But he don't even get that credit.
Yeah, he don't even get that credit. Okay, so then my point even stands even more. Like, they didn't even use him in that capacity. And that's almost two different offensive styles. You had Mike Norvell calling the plays in, then you had Gus Malzahn, and he basically just went. Yeah. So my thing is, yes, you do need the depth. I understand getting the depth. But, you know, when the team needed different depth at other positions, I wasn't entirely sure you needed to go waste a depth piece on another running back. So that's one thing. Two, you brought back Chroma, you brought back Singleton, and then you added Trey Wisner, and you added Jamari Sands. I'm missing one. Who else am I missing?
The freshman, Amari Thomas.
So to me, I just, until I see the freshman on the field, until I see how Jamari Sands gets used, until I see how Trey Wisner gets used, and this ridiculous running back rotation from a guy who usually in his career has historically only used 1 to 2 running backs, I'm just not sure you're better in that room, or it's just the same as last year. I'll be curious to see.
And a couple things I should say real quick. First off, we haven't seen any of these guys play together.
Correct.
So these grades, again, that's why they're arbitrary, because we don't know, right?
Correct.
And then also the other thing I will say is, just because they maybe got better or worse doesn't mean the record's going to be better at the end of the year, right?
That's
right. So I need to catch up with that. Also, do you think Jalen Lucas right now is probably like, bro, why did I leave Indiana? That was a bad move.
Oh, man.
Because he left when they were bad, and they got immediately better. But no, I think it's a slight upgrade because you didn't lose Chroma and Singleton, so they will be a year more experienced. And then I think Trey Wisner is an upgrade over Gavin Sawchuk. So to me, the position did get marginally better, but not majorly better. Now, going to wide receiver, this one is complicated because you didn't gain anybody from the portal. You did not add anybody. And of course, you lost LaWayne McCoy, Elijah Moore, Camden Fryer, and Willie Suarez. The thing is, for me, I don't penalize you for losing guys that were kind of dead weight, right? And Elijah Moore, Camden Fryer, and Willie Suarez had really not contributed at all. And so I don't really penalize you for kind of cutting dead weight. The thing is, you know, when you lose the guy like McCoy, I know you don't need a lot of receivers in this offense, but you're still losing a guy who was productive from you, and you didn't really do anything to replace him at that same level. You also lost Squirrel White and Gavin Blackwell, two guys that, really do anything. Squirrel White gave you one catch, Gavin Blackwell didn't do anything. And so you did, however, the crux of the grade for the wide receiver room to me is more about what you didn't lose. Right. You were able to bring Deuce Robinson back, who's a proven 1,000-yard receiver who very well should have, probably could have went to the NFL draft. Like, if it wasn't for NIL, he's gone. Right. Because you probably gave him a pretty big check to come back. You also held on to Danzy, and you also got Javon Boggs back out of the portal. You signed 6 high school wide receivers. Now, I like the Jason Lopez kid. I like Devin Carter. I think Ephraim White has some potential, but he played quarterback in high school. So I don't know how much I'm going to factor those guys in. Maybe they could contribute in some other games. But to me, I'm actually going to give this an A- because – and it's hard – again, it's hard to say that, like, the group's getting better when it's a lot of the same pieces.
Right, right.
But the fact that you did not lose Deuce Robinson – is so massive. Deuce Robinson is 90% of your offense.
Yep.
If you would have lost him, you'd have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
Right. And so to me, getting Boggs back, getting deuce back, which is why we're not just grading based on what you did in the portal. We're grading on how the position group was handled in the offseason.
Right.
I give this an A minus, right? And I throw the minus on there simply because you lost McCoy and you didn't really replace him with anybody, right? So you don't need that many receivers in Gus Malzahn's offense, and you don't need to overpay for 2 and 3. But getting those guys back was huge. So I like the way the room was handled this offseason to bring back the ones that you felt the best about and to add in some potential impact high school receivers there. So to me, I give this one an A minus. I think they did a good job of handling this offseason.
Okay, before I give my grade, just a quick question. When Squirrel White goes back to whatever school for Alumni Day, does he go to Florida State or does he go to Tennessee?
He probably should go to Tennessee.
I'm just thinking,
he was
like,
in hibernation in Tallahassee.
He sure was. Like, don't you show your face here? Like, here is Squirrel White, one catch.
Yeah, I forget his name, but the kid, the Kansas transfer,
yeah,
that gave us 4th and 14.
Andrew Parchment.
He will be infamous in Florida State history for one catch, like Squirrel White. You are infamous for one catch. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have the same grade. I have an A minus, and the reason why I have an A minus is because you, for all intents and purposes, we assumed that Deuce was gone, that he was an NFL draft pick, that he was going to be a top, you know, 4 round somewhere in the 1 through 4. He was gone. So the fact that you were able to convince him and have the NIL and package and all like that to get him back, that automatically became a huge addition to the room when you assumed that he was gone. Then you got Danzy to not go into the portal. Not that it was speculated he was going in the portal, but you kept him from the portal. You were able to re-sign him again. Like, that is huge. So your two best wide receivers from last year are back in the fold there again. And then, of course, you're bringing in some, like you said, some high potential freshmen in there to see what that. And then I will say this. You even were able, yes, he was often injured, but coming into the season last year, Javon Boggs was projected to be this kind of, you know, really impactful player. Obviously, that didn't get to be lived out because of the injuries and stuff. And then he went into the portal. Thank you to the buyout language that was able to get him back to Florida State. And I thought that was a huge thing for Florida State, because now you have three receivers who were in the system. They know it. They understand it. And you start the season off with experience, high production from Deuce, high production from Makai Danzy, and also still high potential from Javon Boggs.
Yeah, and had you not have got Boggs back out of the portal, I would have probably bumped this down, because then you'd have been like, well, who's going to be the wide receiver number three? And correct, they're not a big – they don't play a big role in Gus's offense,
right,
but who would it have been? And
that's
so right. I think you have three pretty much penciled-in starters there and some guys who can compete. So, yeah, again, I like the way it was handled. Now, when you look at tight end here, you gain DeCirio Riles, you lost Randy Pittman, and I guess you could also consider you lost Amari Williams, because he was a two-way player.
Right.
You did lose Biscuit to attrition. Really did nothing for you. You were able to retain Landon Thomas, who did enter the portal, and you brought him back, so that was big too. You still have Chase Lofton. You signed Xavier Tiller and Corbin Fordham from high school. To me, man, I give this a C+, right? Basically a break even, with maybe I feel a little bit better about Riles than Pittman. It could a lot have to do with how they're used in that offense, but Riles was more productive than Randy Pittman, right? Yeah. Randy Pittman may have been more of a hard-nosed blocker type of guy, but I think the only thing that this room really lacks is a good blocking tight end. That's the one thing that it lacks. But I think from what you didn't have that last year either. So from what you had last year, and of course Chase Lofton got hurt, so hopefully he's going to be back and available this year. From what you had last year to what you had this year, I think it's pretty much a wash. I give it the plus because I think Riles may be a little bit more dynamic than Pittman, but Pittman outproduced him when he was at UCF. So it just depends on, you know, the tight ends are really weird in this offense. They don't use them a whole lot. So to me, this is kind of a wash with a plus, because Riles could be a little bit more dynamic, and you avoided losing Landon Thomas. Like, you'd have got a pretty bad grade if he'd end up walking on you. So yeah, I go with a C+ on this. It's pretty much a wash with a little bit of upside potential.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've heard comparisons to the Rouse kid as more of a, like a, he could be used as a Jaheim Bell type look. Mm-hmm. The issue is that in the Mike Norvell offense, yes, you see that a lot. But you didn't necessarily see that as much in the Gus Malzahn version of this offense. You know, yeah, they tried to use Randy Pittman out wide. You know, obviously they, you know, they threw deep to him several times throughout the seasons, but I'm still curious to see how they plan to leverage the tight end. So for me, this is a C. I think this is a wash. I don't think you got necessarily, I don't think you got better. I do agree with you that, like, it's just, you could give like a C plus with the Rouse over the Pittman guy, but I also think what you lost to what you gain really kind of blends itself out. Now, again, like you said, we haven't seen these guys play. So it could be totally that, man, we actually got really better in that room, or mm-hmm. it could be that we actually got worse. You know, I hated the fact that we lost Amari Williams. I really felt like he could have been a difference maker if he had stayed, obviously on the, especially from the, a later position we'll get into, but also the tight end room, if they were going to continue to use him on both sides of the ball. But other than that, yeah, I think this is a wash. So I gave it a
C. Yeah, and that's the thing, man. These grades are really kind of hard to give out, yeah. right? Because we don't know what they're going to look like yet. And you can, like, this next one's going to be a perfect example. The grade's going to sound a little harsh, right? Yeah. I think Herb Hand did an amazing job of going out and rebuilding this offensive line, because, you know, it's not his fault that, well, maybe mildly, because he chose who to take last year. But, I mean, you walk in and you lose five starters and your sixth man, Jacob Rizzi, due to attrition. None of that's his fault, right? Right. He's been one of the only guys really pulling his weight from the staff, but the grade's going to be a little bit harsh because you look at what last year was versus this year. And so you just kind of have to go with that. So to set the stage again, keep in mind, due to attrition, you lost all five starters plus Jacob Rizzi. You also lost Mario Nash, the ITIT kid, Jalen Matthews, Lucas Simmons, and Ty Hilton. You did gain Xavier Chaplin. I'm going to try it, Michael. Chimdia Nwayu.
Let's go.
Nate Pabst, Paul Bowling, and Braden Joyner. You retained Andre Otto, and Sandman Thompson. Plus, you retained some other guys, but those were the only two who really played any snaps last year. And keep in mind, Herb Hand is a guy that does not rotate very heavily at all. And so you did sign five high school offensive linemen, and I'm going to say there's none of them that are really big needle movers, but I also trust Herb Hand's eval. So I'm going to trust that he found the pieces that he liked. Here's the thing, man. I give this grade a C plus. And so I think it's going to be a little bit, maybe I almost even want to go C minus. I think it's, and the grade sounds harsh, and that's no indictment on Herb Hand, because I know he's going to get the best out of these guys, right? But when you look at this group, it feels like a high floor, but a lower ceiling group than last year. And the reason I say that is because people forget Luke Pettibon was the best one of the highest graded centers in the entire ACC coming in last year. Micah Pettis was one of the better tackles in the SEC. He was top 10 in PFF grade. Gunnar Hansen was a power four starter at Vanderbilt. He had already developed Adrian Medley at UCF. And then you also got Richie Leonard back, who was a multi-year power four starter. When you look at this year, this doesn't mean the line can't be good, because remember, this is what I talked about where it's relative. The line was one of our strengths last year. Yeah. So it's hard to get better at that position. This year you have an FCS guy, two G6 guys, and two Power 4 guys that neither were overly great. Like, the Chaplin guy was not very good at Auburn, and the other guy was pretty okay at Purdue. So that's why I say, like, I think Herb Hand did a great job rebuilding from ground zero, because he basically had nothing coming back. But it also – and I like the pieces that he's taken, and I trust his evals, and I trust him to get the best out of this group. But when you look at just on paper – you took some pretty high-level Power 4 guys to now we're stepping down to FCS, G6, kind of guys like that. So to me, that's why I think he's done a great job, but I think the grade is kind of a wash to maybe even a little bit of a downgrade, right? You know, had they all have been proven Power 4 guys, maybe it's an upgrade, but the offensive line was pretty good last year, to be honest. So it was hard to upgrade that anyway. So that's why I give it a C+. That's no indictment on what Herb Hand has done. And I trust he's going to get these guys right. But, yeah, I just see a little bit of a high floor, lower ceiling, given the caliber of guys you brought in last year versus this year.
Yeah, so I went with a B-. And I think because I just give Herb Hand the benefit of the doubt that the guys that he has picked, right? Like, and again, you could say, well, no, this, like you said, this isn't like the top of the portal chain that he could have got to. But last year, they didn't have the top of the top portal chain they could access to. And he was able to turn them into an above average offensive line. They weren't elite by any means.
No,
but
yeah,
they were above average. They kept, you know, gosh, you know, one of the top rushing offenses in the country, even when you account for Power Four versus, you know, the other schools, still they were averaging about 140, 150 yards a game, as well as they gave Tommy time to throw. Now, most of the sacks, outside of a few, were on Tommy because he held on the ball too long. He scrambled into a blitz, you know, all those different things. So my assumption is that these are the guys that, again, that Herb Hand could pull from this year, and he identified them. And I just have an innate trust that this line is going to be, again, above average. Now, again, he can prove us wrong. It could be terrible, or they could be even better. Maybe they might even be close to, you know, great. But my assumption is they're going to be, again, above average, which would, in my mind, give this a B+. That, again, he is raising up the bar of linemen that are coming into the program.
Yeah, and I hope it's an upgrade. I trust he's going to get the most out of them. It's just, again, like I said, who would you choose at center?
Yeah.
You know, the highest graded center in the ACC, or the transfer from Troy, or the guy who was kind of okay at Purdue. So that's why I just look at the pieces you brought in, to me, aren't better than what you had, but that doesn't mean that Herb Hand can't get the most out of them. So it's been really impressive what he's had to do, because he had to rebuild it last year, turn around and rebuild it again this year. And so that's just kind of how I feel about that group. But shout out to Herb Hand carrying the weight, right? Pretty much. Now, let's flip over to the defense, and these might be a little bit more tough. After yesterday, my grades did move a little bit, but let's start with the defensive line. And it's pretty simple to name the ones you gained. Rylan Kennedy, that's it. That's all you've added. You lost James Williams, Amari Williams, Jason Jenkins, Jaden Jones, KJ Sampson, Jamori Flagg, Tylan Coleman, and LaJesse Harrell. And you also lost Daryl Jackson to attrition. So you had a mass exodus of the defensive line. Now, again, this is why I only penalize you so much. Yes, James Williams, and for all intents and purposes, was a bust for us. He still played a lot. He was a starter for you. Amari Williams, again, like you, I thought he could have been a significant part of this defensive line this year. Jason Jenkins kind of fell flat, but we know he had the injury there. That, you know, whatever. Jaden Jones was another guy that was coming off significant injury that was just kind of – he's a jag, right? Just another guy. Nothing really special there. KJ Sampson, blah. Jamori Flagg, didn't even know he existed. Tylan Coleman didn't really do anything for you either. LaJesse Harrell's really the only one I think was like a big loss here, because the kid was talented. He didn't play a lot last year as a true freshman, but I think he could have been one of those that was in the running for a starting spot. Of course, losing Daryl Jackson is going to hurt you. I mean, I know people don't understand a lot of times how that nose tech does. Maybe he doesn't show up big on the stat sheet, but he eats a lot of double teams. And so, I mean, he's just a mountain of a man. So it's going to be someone that you have to replace there. Now, this grade was almost an F until yesterday, or the last couple of days, right? Because at one point you had basically thought you were losing Kevin Wynn and the Twins. And so to me, that would have been a straight up F right out of the gate. But you did manage to retain the Twins. Mm-hmm. You did manage to get Kevin Wynn back. You did manage, or you are bringing back Deontay McCray, who, to be honest, was one of my favorite defensive linemen from last year. You're also bringing back Tylon Lee, who redshirted last year, that I think has a good high ceiling and could very well be a big part of this defensive line this year. Also, Daniel Lyons. And I don't know what is going on with Diamante Diggs. He is basically aged out due to attrition, but he missed a lot of last year with injury, so maybe they need a waiver. He's still listed on the roster, so I don't really know what's going on. So we're going to count him in until he's out, right? We haven't heard one thing or another. Now, you did also sign 8 high school and JUCO defensive linemen. I do like Jalen Anderson, the number one JUCO DN in the portal that you brought in. At the same time, Tylan Coleman was the number 5 JUCO D-line last year, and he didn't do squat for you. Exactly. And so it was huge to get the Twins back. It was huge to get Kevin Wynn back, because you just didn't have anything to replace him. And it's kind of a thin year in the defensive line part of the portal, right?
Yep.
And so I do say I'm going to give this a D, because I think it did get marginally worse, right?
Yep.
Now, from a individualistic perspective, I think the Twins could take a jump because they were true freshmen last year. Kevin Wynn, we just don't know. He only played 40 snaps because he was hurt most of last year. The reason I say it got marginally worse is because you didn't add any needle movers and you lost a significant portion of your depth. So, like, when these guys come off the field, who are you going to put back on the field?
Yeah.
Right? That who's your twos or even threes if someone were to get hurt? And so that, to me, is why I give this a slight downgrade as it got a little bit worse. Now, we do know Florida State is pursuing another defensive lineman. I'll talk about him in a second. But the one thing I want to say about the twins, and one thing I also want to say about Kevin Wynn, is it's kind of funny because you get this, like, go Noles tweet or whatever is kind of the bat signal mm-hmm. there. And everybody's like, well, it doesn't sound very enthusiastic. And part of me does go, I wonder how invested these guys are going to be if the buyouts and things like that are really what handcuffed them to the program. Like, how bad do you want to be here? Mm. How hard are you going to play when things get tough? Are we going to see the loafing and things like that? But on the flip side of that, the reason I don't think you'll see a lot of that is because, remember, now that you are you determine your own pay rate essentially by how impactful you are. If you start mailing it in, your NIL value is going to go down. Yep. And so good luck finding a new home. So I think you got to play hard regardless, right? Because it's going to affect your money. Now, I'll throw it back to you on this. The one that I know that they are looking at that has already received a crystal ball per 247 is Texas State D lineman Jordan Sanders. He does have a crystal ball, like I said, by 247 to land with Florida State. Now, that crystal ball was put in prior to the Twins coming back. He is 6'4", listed at 306 on Texas State's website. He played at Cal Poly for three seasons, primarily played on the interior last year at the 3-tech, and he was a rotational piece at Texas State. So is he Florida State quality? I would probably go with no, but he could at least give you some competitive depth and some size on the inside at 6'4", 306. He did have a 78.2 PFF grade, but his tackling grades were awful for three out of the 4 years he's played, like deep red. And so probably a depth piece at best, but, you know, again, I just knocked you on your grade because you lost a lot of depth. So you got to get some people in here. The Ole Miss edge, Prince Will, I don't know how to shabalaba ding dong. I don't know how to say his last name. From Ole Miss, he did enter the portal. And he did start his career at Nebraska, so maybe you would think we have an in there, but from what I've heard, Florida State's not in his final schools that he's choosing from. So it sounds like outside of the Texas State guy, maybe they kicked the tires on another guy, but this is kind of what we got, man. And so, you know, just to throw it back to you, I think the players that you got, you kept the best of the players that you had, right? You kept the ones that I liked. You really took a hit to the depth. And that's something that I worry about. So I say it got slightly worse than last year from a depth perspective.
Yeah, you know, my grade, I'll just go, I gave it a D+. The plus is really because you were able to keep the twins. You were able to get Wynn back. Obviously, shout out to the buyout language again. That's really what kept you in play for the twins. That's really what kept Kevin Wynn from going anywhere else and doing that, because that's what kept you in there. But outside of that, this is literally the worst portal season for defensive linemen I've ever seen in the portal history. Like, I mean, we just, you know, I don't mean to call out coaches here, but I'm going to. I mean, Pop Roast, what are you doing, man? Like, you whiffed. Yep. And then you're arguing with people on your D, you're dropping into people's DMs. Like, this is ridiculous. And I know they're bringing in other players for depth pieces. I'm not sure about the Amalama Ding Dong guy there. I'm not sure where he ranks at, but I'm sure he'll be somewhere if that's even a possibility for them. But I just think this is a D+. This was terrible. This was not very good. Grateful that you kept the twins, grateful that you got Wynn back, but you really didn't show much for this. And when you're on those third down situations and they're constantly out there because you're having to bring in other guys to give them breaks, and they're getting rolled over because they were just depth pieces. They're supposed to be practice squad guys, and you're using them in games now. And I'm not saying that those kids can't be good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that right now it just seems like we whiffed on the defensive line. And Tony White, you need to hold Pot Roast accountable. For two cycles, he has not done his job. And I'm just putting it out there. Yes, we got the twins. Yes, we got Wynn. But I mean, just look what walked out of the door versus what came back in the door.
Yeah. And we do know that Odell had a big part in getting Kevin Wynn here.
Correct.
And so, you know, if Kevin Wynn turns out to be great, and the Twins take that sophomore jump, which, you know, they say sophomore slump, not sophomore jump.
That's right.
Then it could be a better. And maybe some of these high school guys show out. I mean, you typically would say no, but then look at what happened with the DeSere Twins. So maybe one of them, they break out. But to me, it's you're getting knocked here again because of your depth that you lost and because you added one backup rotational piece from Texas A&M, and that is it. And you added nobody for the interior. And so, yeah, to me, I give that a downgrade slightly there. You know, hopefully you can sign at least one or two guys and maybe bump that up from a depth. Now, let's go to linebacker. And I'll tell you what, Ernie came through at the last minute because he was about to get an F here just for a second. So, but save the day, man. So you gained Chris Jones from Southern Miss. We'll talk about him in just a second. Makai Gabor, I'm guessing, and Chris Thomas. And so let's first just talk about the two commits that we got that we have not talked about on the show yet. Chris Jones, this is what really saved the day. I really like this kid. Comes in from Southern Miss, had 135 tackles last year, 9.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, and a forced fumble. Led the Sun Belt in tackles. He was number 7 in the nation in tackles last year. And, Michael, he might have to have 150 if we don't have a defensive line. But he did have, I'll give you the flip side of the coin here. He also had 23 missed tackles, but when you're making 135 tackles, that's not too terrible, I guess. And he also had a 46.8 coverage grade. And so you do worry a little bit because what happened last year, our linebackers could not cover. And so I do worry about that a little bit, allowed a 75.8 completion percentage, but this was a huge addition. It was priority target. He had already committed to Ole Miss. They were kind of holding him hostage there. You know, I thought the shenanigans had left with Lane, but as soon as they got him out of that paperwork, he was straight to Florida State. And so this is a big pickup for Florida State.
Yeah.
The other one that you got that we talked about before is Makai Gabor. One season at North Carolina, two at Nebraska. He did play at Nebraska for four total seasons. He did not play in the first two. He had a 72.1 PFF grade at Nebraska in 24. So he had his best season under Tony White in that 3-3-5 defense. He had a 67.1 at PFF. He was not a starter at UNC, more of a rotational piece there. Yeah. And he actually did have a 64.7 coverage grade the past two seasons. So this may be more of your coverage backer that you brought in. So you added two big names, as we talked about before, Chris Thomas. No offense to the kid. He's a JUCO kid with a torn ACL. Remember, we're grading on impact in 2026. I just don't see that being much of an impact there. As far as what you lost Juice Cryer, Jaden Parrish, and Gavin Holman. You also lost Stephon Thompson and Elijah Herring to attrition. Again, I just don't penalize you a whole lot for what you lost because none of them were really all that good. I mean, Juice had some potential, but he wasn't athletic enough. And then you retained Omar Graham Jr., Blake Nicholson, Caleb LaValle, which we didn't see last year because he was injured,
right?
And also AJ Cottrell. You signed three high school linebackers, including Isaiah Williams. I want to mention that because that's one of the best linebacker commits you've signed in quite some time. So I'm actually going to give this a B+. I think you did improve this position, right? Now, again, this was going to be a lot harsher before yesterday. But I think Omar Graham to me is just kind of a, man, he's not bad, but he's not good. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of a tough one there. I feel like Caleb LaValle is going to be more of an athletic linebacker from what we saw at UNC. We just didn't really get to see a chance. And so to me, the reason I go B+ is because I think Chris Jones is better than Elijah Herring or Stephon Thompson. And I also think that the Gabor kid is familiar with the system. He's played in a 3-3-5. And I think he's as good as probably Stephon Thompson or, you know, Elijah Herring or even Juice Cryer. And so I will say between that and the freshman, Isaiah Williams, because I want to put him in there too, because that kid could make a big impact. I do think the linebacker group will take a small step forward this year.
Yeah, you know, for me, I gave this a wash with a plus. So this is a C+ to me. I think Isaiah Williams, obviously, he's the best linebacker recruit you've signed in a since Talvin Smith, maybe. I mean, some back then, you're looking way back there. Outside of that, I feel like, again, until we see these players play, I'm not really entirely sure we're basing a lot of this off of last year's stats and what they've done. I feel like it's almost a wash in that sense. You're basically replacing mediocre linebacker for what seems like mediocre linebacker play again. Now, obviously, they could come here, as you say, everyone has the ability to get better or worse. So they could get better. But right for me, I give the plus for Isaiah Williams because he's the best recruit you've signed in a while. But really, it's kind of a wash for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, we'll see how it turns out. I mean, a guy that had 135 tackles is pretty darn decent, but again, the other guy couldn't crack the starting lineup at UNC. So you just don't really know where you're going to end up. It's just linebacker. Again, linebacker was so bad last year. It's not hard to upgrade. And so I think that's, again, that's what we talk about. Like, I think Herb Hand did a great job, but he gets a C-plus because it's harder to elevate that position group. Yes, he gets a B-plus because, well, it was butt cheeks last year. and so then we'll go to defensive backs here. Now, you did gain Carson Hobbs. You've already heard me talk about him. You know my feelings on that. C.J. Richard from the FCS level. Makai Jones, who we'll talk about in just a second because we didn't talk about him on this particular show yet. Safety transfer from Duke. And Nehemiah Chandler, who's a quarterback or cornerback. So Makai Jones comes in. He's a rising sophomore, spent 1 year at Duke, appeared in all 14 games as a true freshman. He did see an increasing workload throughout the season, and his PFF grades steadily improved as well, finished with 65.8. So, you know, I think he's a young developmental guy who can probably step in and be a starter this year if you need him. You did lose Earl Little Jr., Edwin Joseph, Kai Bates, and Shamar Arnaud. You also lost Jerry Wilson and Shaheen Brown to attrition. You retained big time. Retention here was Jabril Rawls. You also bring back Quindarius Jones, KJ Kirkland, and you got Ashlyn Barker out of the portal to come back out of the portal. And you also have a core of young DBs there, you know, Charles Lester, those guys that have really just never done anything. So it is what it is. You signed three high school DBs, including Chauncey Keenan, which is probably the only one I would expect to even be in a position to contribute for 2026. So to me, man, overall, I kind of give this a C. Right. That's about it. Maybe even almost a C minus. And the reason I say that is because Jerry Wilson was much better at Houston than he was at Florida State. And so I think that was kind of a little bit of a letdown. I think Nehemiah Chandler can, you know, okay, if you go starter for starter, I think Jabril Rawls is a full-time starter is probably better than where Edwin Joseph is, right? Yeah. So, Jerry Wilson. So maybe that's a little bit of an upgrade there. Edwin Joseph, maybe the kid from Duke is probably about as good as he was. You know, Earl Little, when you look at the Makai Jones, if that's a direct replacement there, like Earl Little was probably from a talent perspective better than this kid. But, you know, again, he forgets he's got arms when he tackles.
Exactly. So,
you know what I mean? So Ohio State, you about to find out. They're getting all excited. It's like, okay. It just kind of feels like a little bit of a wash. Like it's probably going to be about as good as it was last year and maybe some potential downside there. And a lot of that had to do, again, with Shaheem has been a letdown the last couple of years. Jerry Wilson wasn't quite what we hoped for from being this all-star cornerback there at Houston. And so the big news was getting Rawls back, right, and not losing KJ Kirkland, who I really like. Ashlyn Barker, that's kind of hit or miss. You know, he's a good player for you. He's just not overly special to me. And so the ones you brought in, again, I already told you, I don't see the point of taking this Carson Hobbs kid. His film was just not good. We don't know how the FCS kid's going to transfer, and the Makai Jones, maybe he is a dude. You know, he come from Duke on the ACC championship team, played in 14 games as a true freshman. Maybe there's something to him. He signed without even visiting, so shout out to the new GM. But, yeah, man, to me, the DB group I think is pretty much a wash, which the last thing I'll say before I kick it to you is at least when you changed coaches, you did worry. Right, because Surtain, let's be honest, man, he didn't do a great job with the secondary, but he could recruit his pants off. Blue Adams, the thing was, how can he recruit? And so at least you were able to retain some guys and bring some guys in. You held on to Chauncey Keenan. You brought in a couple of decent pieces out of the portal there. So to me, again, I think this is kind of about even.
Yeah, I would say that too. Yeah, I have it as a C as well. You know, again, shout out to the buyout language for Rawls and for Ashlyn Barker. You know, go into the portal and then realize no school wants to touch that buyout and lose money from the rev share. So thank goodness for that. And kudos to Florida State for enforcing that and being, you know, in a lot of ways strict about it. Like, hey, like, okay, you can go to the portal, but we'll see what if schools want to pay that. So shout out to that. But yeah, I feel like this is just a, I think the only loss that hurts. If they had gotten back, I probably would have gave this maybe a C+, maybe even a B minus. Is Shamar Arnaud? I really thought he was somebody who could make a really, really big impact for the team next season from the defensive back position. But outside of that, I really think it's a wash to lose Earl Little. Like, yeah, he's an experienced, you know, safety rover guy who knows the defense, but yet he can't tackle. He'll throw it now. He'll hit you.
Yeah.
But if you're able to bounce off of him, you're probably scoring six because he doesn't have hands. His hands go magically. They disappear during a tackle play. So, you know, Ohio State, yeah, they're about to enjoy. And he's about to have that cold weather very soon, very quick. So I don't feel like that's a huge loss to the team. I think just from an experience standpoint, that's all you really are losing there. But I think they did a good enough job to retain the pieces they needed to retain outside of Shamar. But then also, we'll see what they bring in. I know your concerns about Carson there. I'm curious to see what they leverage and use him as, if he's even in the rotation early on. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I have, and really part of this grade, is this is going to be year, what, 3-4 of Charles Lester?
Yeah. When
is this kid actually going? When are they going to stop portaling and recruiting over this kid? He was supposed to be this thing, and it just befuddles me what has happened to this kid. You know, he stuck with everybody when everybody else was jumping ship and bailing out. And so I think this is a part of the grade that I'm giving. It's a wash for me. It's a C. It didn't get better. It didn't get worse.
Yeah. And I would say, I think for Shamar, I thought the same thing. I thought he might be a starter this year. Maybe the Nehemiah Chandler kid, or one of the two cornerbacks you took, kind of canceled that out. Right. And really, you're right with Lester, man. It's turning into a Damori Tate situation.
Yeah.
Like, all the talent in the world, and you're just nothing. And nothing. So when, and even when you've seen him, it ain't been great. When is it going to pop finally? So, yeah, I mean, there's some potential there. There's some pieces I like there under a new coach, but it just feels like a wash. And real quick, the last thing here is special teams. We're only bringing this up because everybody, right? So you lost Jake Weinberg, you lost the punter Mac Chimento, and you lost Bruno Reyes, who was the guy who was going to step into these roles, right? Potentially, because he was a kicker. He was a duels guy. He could kick and punt. You did gain Daniel Hughes, the punter, and I have to give two different grades because kicker and punter are two different things. The punter, I'm going to give a B here, right? And the reason I say that is because I went back and I looked at your basically the stats of inside the 20s, the nets and things, the longs and things like that. Daniel Hughes is slightly better than Mac was. Okay. So I give you an upgrade there. Kicker, we can't even name, though, because we don't have one yet. But you know what, man? I'm almost going to bump this to an A because you got rid of JP.
That's the biggest one.
So, maybe that's what it is. And we'll see who returns punts. It sounds like the new special teams coach you got is pretty darn decent. So, we'll see how that goes. But overall, man, I think the punter was a slight upgrade. The kicker, we just don't know yet.
Yeah.
And so, we'll see, man. I just hope the special teams is better coordinated. But, you know, I think when we step back and we look at everything, again, I know I may have been a little bit more on the rosy side. You may have been a little bit more on the realistic side. I do think when you look at some of the positions on the offense, I do think you did make some upgrades, but I don't think any of the positions you really got drastically better, right? I feel semi-confident about the offense next year being okay, right? Because and I think that comes with the caveat of you just have to understand that Gus Malzahn has that high floor, low ceiling offense. And right. Even then the floor is questionable because we couldn't score on the road.
That's right.
And so I think you have the pieces you need to run, to get what you need to get out of Gus Malzahn's offense. Right. I worry about the offensive line a little bit. I don't worry about Herb Hand. I don't worry about his evals. Again, you're starting over. So we have nothing coming back. We have no consistency there. And then, you know, again, I think you did good with the receiver. I don't think you hit the nail on the head with the quarterback, but you didn't have that last year either.
That's right.
The defense is really where I was worried about. Like, I was thinking, man, we're going to be in trouble with this defense. But given the fact that you retained Kevin Wynn and the Twins, given the fact that you retained the Jabril Rawls of the world, given the fact that you were able to bring in a couple of pretty decent sounding linebackers, I feel better about it, but I still worry about it, man. And again, to bring this kind of home from the grade perspective is, remember, guys, we haven't seen any of these guys play together. We're going based on last year's stats. The grades are more, you know, again, trivial than anything. It's just kind of, we're giving you an idea of who you got, who you lost, and how we feel compared to last year. And so they got a few more pieces to go, but that doesn't mean the record's going to get any better. That's you have right. a tougher schedule next year. You know, the one thing you were like, well, it was year one of the schemes last year, right? So now we're in year two. But how much does that matter when basically everyone is new?
That's
so
right.
It doesn't even matter. It's basically year one for the entire offensive line, the quarterback, the running back. Like, it's So you at least you lose that continuity. But I mean, this is college football now. As right. much as we hate it, this is what it is.
Yep.
And so, man, we'll talk about the remaining needs last. But yeah, man, just give me any final thoughts about like just kind of where you're sitting right now, knowing that we have about 7 spots to play with on this roster. Keep in mind, you got to get 1 to 2 kickers. So you're down to about 5 now.
Yep.
And if they sign the defensive line, you're down to about 4. You need a quarterback, you're down to 3. So just about what we got is what we got. So, man, yeah. give me some just some overall thoughts now that you've kind of seen most of the moves play out. Where are your thoughts on the offense and defense as a whole? And again, like I said, it doesn't mean we're going to be better next year.
Right.
But
right.
I do think in some areas we got better. Some areas it's not that you got worse from a starter perspective, but you lost some depth. But it's yep. hard to hold on to depth nowadays. So give me some thoughts on that, and we'll talk about some remaining needs and get up out of here.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you on the same thing about the offense. I don't think many people are worried about the way this offense is going to be able to score and move the ball next year. I think we were always confident that that's going to happen. And even in Gus Malzahn's worst years, his offense has been able to move and score the ball. Obviously, you saw that last year with a 5-7 season. The offense was able to move and score the ball. Last year, even on the road, the offense was able to move the ball. They just weren't able to score. Right?
There's that important part.
There's that important part. That's why we always say yards between the 20 don't matter. It's what you do in scoring, right? Scoring defense, scoring offense. And so that's the issue where you're going to wonder when they go on the road game next year, are they better? And right now, I don't think they're better for scoring on the road. And even I would say that I have a concern about them scoring at home, just scoring in general. I think they're going to move the ball. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. I'm more concerned about how the quarterback's going to be able to lead in that sense from the offense, but I know they'll move the ball. Defensively, this has not changed my mind. I am red alert, DEFCON, whatever it is about this defense, because I don't think you have the depth to sustain a elite pass rush all season. And here's why I say that. You had a pretty crappy pass rush this past season. So and you didn't get better.
You did nothing to elevate that.
You did nothing to elevate that. Yes, you brought back the Twins. Thank goodness. Yes, you brought back Kevin Wynn. Thank goodness. But you did nothing to elevate beyond that. And last year, they were not elite. They were not great. They were productive. Let's just say
we
struggled to stop the run. We had linebackers that couldn't cover. And so I don't know what this linebacker group is going to be. So then it forced the DBs into really bad positions, right? Where you're having your DBs come down and tackle and they can't tackle to save their life.
Yeah.
I am much more worried, even more so than last year, going into this next season about this defense. It feels like we're going to be a high scoring defense. Like, we're going to give up a lot of points with an offense that has proven against elite competition, against powerful competition, not necessarily be able to score a lot of points. So that's what I'm much more worried about that. When it comes to special teams, we'll see what they do at kicker. I do like the addition of the punter. I do think he's better than Max there. It's interesting that kickers are going into the portal now.
I know.
Jake Weinberg, you were 12 for 19, bro. You weren't that great. I'm curious to see what your next season looks like as well, too. But, you know, overall,
bro gonna be committed to State Farm.
Exactly.
If you don't watch out.
I don't think the program got better. I think you lost some depth, but, I'm not going to say they got significantly worse either.
No, I don't think so either. And really, when you talk about the bringing back the Twins and bringing back Kevin Wynn, like you said, that's really kind of what took it from being a 5-alarm fire to just a red alert. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still worried. It's just had Rawls actually left, had the Twins actually left, had Kevin Wynn actually left, I'd be like, man, we might win 3 games next year. Because you haven't – and on the flip side of that is you have not shown the ability to go out and replace these guys.
Nope.
Like, they clearly wanted to leave. And I understand a lot of this is negotiating tactics. Mm-hmm. But – it's not like guys were like, no, I love this here. I'm staying. It's because the money and the buyout is what trapped them here. It handcuffed them to the program. And so that's what makes you nervous, right? And then you're basically taking a slightly upgraded in some places, slightly downgraded in other places, and you're going to put that up against a tougher schedule. And so, again, that's why I say we don't know what the record's going to look like. That doesn't mean this is going to look better. And so we'll have to see how that goes. But the last thing here, the remaining needs, as we talked about, as of right now, going based off what 247 reported, I think we're now with the running back at 98 spots. So you have 7 roster spots remaining. Remember, 105 limit. And that is as of today on the 16th. We know they're pursuing a quarterback because with O'Neal out, you need that third guy. You need a scout team guy or whatever. So now you're down to 6 spots. Kicker, you got to probably take 2 because if one gets hurt, you just can't throw anybody in as a kicker.
Right.
So now you're down to about 4 spots. I would like to see, out of those 4 spots, I would like to see you add at least 2 defensive linemen. I'd like to see 1 pass rusher brought in, 1 kind of nose guy brought in that may end up being the Texas State guy. I'd also like to see you maybe add another offensive lineman. Would make me feel a little bit better, especially if you could find like a power 4 level transfer guy. And then maybe if you just find a playmaker that wants to be here, either side of the ball, that's fine. That just take that. So, you know, I don't know how those spots, I think when we get down to like 4 spots remaining that you pretty much have free, I'd like to see it all spent in the trenches. So I'm assuming you probably feel the same way.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I think you don't look anywhere else but the defensive line. And maybe so 3, I would go 3 defensive line and maybe 1 more additional offensive lineman.
Yep.
And those 3 defensive line can't be some project from JUCO or some project from the lower FCS level. They need to be super productive JUCO players or super productive FCS player, or honestly, I would prefer a super productive, you know, lower power 4 school players. You need to bring them in. That's what you need to go after. You don't need to worry about anything else. Now, I want to make sure I caveat this to say that while today, as the time of this recording, is the last day that players can enter the portal, as long as players submit their request to the compliance office to get into the portal, it might be a few days before you hear that a certain player has entered the portal. You might hear next Wednesday that a player has entered the portal. It's because they got their paperwork in time today. So you may not hear about it today, but the last day to enter their name or to at least report to compliance that they are in the portal is today. Listen, there are going to be a flood of players putting their name into the portal. Okay, so Florida State, let's not just panic and go grab players right now. Let's just wait and see who gets officially into the portal before we start using up those last, you know, 4 or 5 roster spots there, because we really need more help in the trenches.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern next year is just depth in the trenches and being able to have, and you really didn't sign any like dominant guys,
right?
And that's what worries me a little bit. So that's pretty much it for this one, man. I mean, we just, again, it's this portal is just so crazy, right? There's just so much movement. It feels like you just threw the card game 52 pickup,
yep,
where you just throw them everywhere, you pick them all up. Like, that's what it feels like every year. And unfortunately, in the modern game, that's what it's going to be. And
right.
So as much as we spent time talking about grades and upgrades and things like that, we really just wanted to come through and just go position by position and let you kind of know, set the board of what you got, what you lost, what you added, and where you stand compared to what we think it was last year. And so that's kind of what we wanted to do for you guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. We would greatly appreciate that. I know it's not been a ton of positive news for the Noles lately, but we're here for you one way or the other. So we're trying to push towards that 3,000 subscriber mark. It would mean a lot to us if we could do that. Rate and review on the podcast. I know a lot of you guys listen on Apple Podcasts as well. So rate and review would help us reach other Noles fans. We really would greatly appreciate that. If you'd like to be a tribe, PTS tribe member, it's only $5 a month. And everything we get goes back into the show. It's completely not required. It's just we let you choose whether you want to commit financially to doing, to helping out what we do here at Plant the Spear as an independent outlet. So we greatly appreciate that as well. Also, make sure you don't forget to check out Alumni Hall FSU and save 10% with code SPEAR. So, Michael, the portal is going to soon be closed. So hopefully the craziness will die down just a little bit and we'll kind of know what we got. And then we'll keep you guys up to date as the news rolls in. Of course, we got baseball season coming up that we got to start prepping for too. Really excited for that. Last thing I want to say before we get out of here on the baseball, man, I saw the other day that Link and them signed Aaron, our friend Gary's child. to the team. He's going through battling cancer right now. Yep. The movement is Aaron's Army. They do have a GoFundMe out. This is Knowles Helping Knowles. If you guys want to check that out and donate to them, that would be amazing. Just a just an awesome gesture for an amazing family, friends of the program. We got to hang out with them last year at one of our tailgates. So, man, just a really special moment. Lynx runs a great program over there. And so I just wanted to give them a shout out for that as well before we get out of the door. But that's going to be it, guys. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. And we will catch you on the next one. As always, go Knowles.